Welcome to That American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is one of the top suppliers in the UK for all of your NFL merchandise. Check them out today at epsports.co.uk. Today, just got me and Joe on doing a review of all the games from the debut weekend for the European League of Football. Boy, what a great weekend it was. Joe, how did you enjoy it?
Yeah, mate, it was good. I tell you what, it went a lot smoother than I thought it would. I mean, I was already looking forward to the league and we had high hopes for it, but it just, that professional look they were going for, I felt like we really got it, just all the way from like the broadcasting to the announcing to like how the, just, yeah, again, I thought the broadcasting, that for me, that was the main thing. And like the quality of football was very, very good.
It felt like to me like I was watching a college game that I actually had interest in because, yeah, the talent wasn't the NFL. There was clearly some teams that had better offenses, better defenses, and there was some weaknesses and some. But, I mean, there was players that are all teams at all levels that were doing big plays and making kind of moves. So, yeah, it was just great to watch football at a reasonable time of the day.
Yeah, like literally that finish, what it finished at like 5:30 or something, 5 o'clock our time, and you just... Ah, it's lovely. Like you got the rest of your Sunday night, to spend and do other things.
And I mean, yeah, like you said, the commentary was great. It was professional. Those stadiums with advertising, like all those big crowds.
Yeah,
it was all great. Did you watch it with an American announcer or a native announcer?
I was full German.
Full German. Yeah, I'm gonna have to brush up on my European languages soon.
Yeah, we're going to become fluent by the end of this, I guarantee.
Duolingo.
Speak a word. Yeah, Duolingo is coming straight out.
Tell you what does amuse me, because sometimes the German language is just so easily translatable. There was one that was like, let's just say John Smith in the end zone for a touchdown. It was like, John Smith, is he a touchdown? Is it end zone? Like,
okay. Tell you what, that's one thing that I picked up on is they're very German. And then when they come up with the English-American words, their accents are like,
yeah,
straight American, like you could not tell they were German. Like, I love that song. That cracked me up.
Yeah, especially with the wide array of names.
Yes.
Should also mention that the EFL's just partnered with some Brazilian league for football. So
yes,
going to have another kind of name nationality coming into play as well, which is great news for the league.
Going to have to start learning Portuguese as well. It's it's a tough life covering this league.
Right, so let's fly into it though. So the first game to kick off the new ELF was the Germans said Rotclaw. They did not say Wroclaw.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is now. It's I'm a little confused. I don't know what we've got to go with.
I'm going to say Wroclaw because Claw just sounds aggressive. The Wroclaw Panthers scored 55 points over the Cologne Centurions, who scored 39. Looks a little bit one-sided on the final score, but like towards the middle end game, third, fourth quarter, that was a closer game than it looks. Wroclaw, they looked like the most professional. I mean, they are, I think, the most developed team that were entering the league. They clearly have looked like most of it together. They were firing well on the defense straight away, whereas the Cologne Centurions took a bit of time to warm up. The offenses on both sides took a bit of time to warm up. I've got kind of a breakdown of all the plays here. First big thing was the interception by Darius Robinson. So one of the USA imports played for Clemson. He actually got two interceptions on the game. The second one went for a pick six. But yeah, it's first big play of the game is coming from a USA player. I think that's to be expected. One of our elf ballers, then Quinton Pounds, did do an excellent punt return off the back of that, which resulted in a missed field goal. I think one of the big things I noticed the whole weekend was extra points and two-point attempts. Maybe not even 50-50 you were getting then.
Yeah, there was a lot of two-point attempts. That is one thing I noticed. I don't know if that's just coaches being aggressive or is it like a lack of faith in the kickers? I'm not too sure what it was, but I'm not complaining. Two-point attempts are always great fun.
Yeah, way better than kicks.
Yeah, they're great.
Definitely not NFL talent kickers, I'll say that. But the lines, like the special teams players were breaking onto the kicker so quickly. Like it was an interesting first week on the special teams front because there was so many like interceptions and punt return touchdowns and fumbles and everything.
But that's exciting. That's like, that's as fans, that's what we like to see. That's exciting brilliant. Stuff. And you're right, that this game, it started quick. I mean, the Panthers, you mentioned it there. From what we've learned and what we've seen, people are saying that the Panthers are the team that have players that have played with each other sort of the most, and they do have that unity. So going off the bat, I mean, it's tough. It's just 1 week in. We don't know how they're going to fare against other teams. But they do seem to me to be that team that have got it going, have got things moving, and look a proper outfit. So it'll be interesting seeing. Now, their quarterback had some fantastic stats.
Absolutely, yeah. We will get on to that.
Mm.
So after Quentin Pounds returned that punt return, there's two missed field goals on both sides of the teams. And then best play of the game, in my opinion, an interception that turned into a fumble, that turned into an offensive touchdown. It was just such a funny play because it was a pretty bad interception. And that defensive player just had a loaf of bread in his hands and the receiver just tapped it out and runs it back in.
That was quality. And obviously DK Metcalf himself saw that one on Instagram and commented. And that's huge. I mean, the fact that he saw that and reacted to that is pretty cool. But it was one of those. He just went one better than what DK did against the Cardinals back in the NFL last season. But that was brilliant. I love that.
Right.
And you just love to see that. That is dedication, and a player that is obviously giving his all on the pitch and his coaches and the fans.
Play to the whistle. That's what you do.
Exactly. Don't, you know, just because they've taken a ball off you doesn't mean you can't take it back.
And then after that, Panthers scored again to make it 21-7. Quinton Pounds, another big catch and run. And then he scored a touchdown off the back of that. He had two really big back-to-back plays. Pretty much did that drive all by himself. He looks really good on the field, I'll say that. And then Panthers wide receiver, Jakob Mezan, scored the first touchdown. He helped get him back to another 35-yard touchdown. Then there was a muffed punt, which turned into another touchdown. So at this point, it's 38-21 to the Panthers. And here we start to see one of the Centurions players start to absolutely unload. Madre London, running back from the USA, I believe. From that point on, whenever he had a crack in the defense, he pretty much took it to the house each time.
Yeah, he was an absolute animal this week. He's just so quick. He's just agile. And as you say, like whenever there was a slight gap, that was it. He was gone. Like you give him that little bit of space, he spots it, he's through there, and you ain't catching him. The guy was just an absolute animal this week. And be interested seeing how he goes on this season because he's definitely one to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that massive touchdown, Cologne recover a fumble off the Panthers and he goes in again for another huge touchdown. So at this point, it's 38-33. The Centurions are within five. It could be anyone's game. But the Panthers proceed to get another score in. Magilandon, again, one more big drive. 38-yard touchdown off the back of that. It's 48-39 with 4 minutes to go. But the Panthers do ice the game, turn it 55-39. But I mean, for a kickoff game for a league, it had everything. It had special teams, it had defense, it had offense, it had some really big players on both sides doing bits. It was great. And I'll also say the jerseys look cracking for both of those teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing I noticed as well. But you're right. I mean, out of all the games to kick it off and get things going, like, what better? Look how many points were scored. I'm trying to add that up very quickly in my head. 94 points, I think that is. You know, That's a lot of fan excitement that you've got there. So well done to the Panthers and the Centurions for giving us that pretty awesome game.
And we're going to pick an MVP for each game throughout the season. So for this one, I think it's no questions asked. Madre London gets it. Overall, he had 272 yards and three touchdowns, the longest run of a 72-yarder. So that's just stats any running back would dream of.
Yeah, you can't. For me, there's no question. I thought the guy was brilliant. And look at that. So what? I think that's about 12, 13 yards on average a carry. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's got to be Madras. And then for the honourable mention, for the Panthers, I've given it to Darius Robinson. He actually only played one half, but in that one half, he got two interceptions and one of them being a pick six. So, I mean, that's what you want your defensive backs for, isn't it?
Exactly.
Right. On to the next game then. So this was you versus me, Barcelona. Dragons versus the Surge. Ultimately, the Surge would win this one in a very close game, 21-17. I mean, All the games are pretty close, bar one, really. But we're going to do a quick rundown of the game. It was a pretty slow starter, but it did creep up towards the end. Dragons started with a three and out, which was then followed by a Dragons sack and then an interception back-to-back. So big defensive showing. But then the Surge got a nice catch-and-run touchdown called back by a penalty. Unfortunately, lots of penalties across all the games. Dragons got a touchdown to running back Monton. This was a fantastic throw. Zach Edwards threw it across his body, across the field, and Monton does a lovely run into the end zone. Then it was followed up by a two-point conversion. Then the Surge returned a kickoff back to the 47-yard line. So good field position there. Louis Gayer, the wide receiver for them, gets two big catch and runs for a touchdown. And then the Dragons kick returner, Gene Constant, he actually returned it for a touchdown, I think, but it was nullified by a penalty. And then they threw an interception from their end zone. Ben Wensler for the Surge got that. Then the Surge did do a three and out. Sorry, I think I fucked that up, but regardless. Surge got a three and out. Long snapper muffs the punt. So there's a safety in this game as well. So going into the half, that was 10-6. It was pretty slow on both sides, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, that Zach's throw for that touchdown, that's probably my favourite touchdown of the weekend. You know, as you say, it was just awesome. He's backing off and it's just across himself. And mate, he was quite clear and open and managed to take the ball and go for that touchdown. Yeah, really nice from him.
And if you watch it on YouTube, I'm sure Craig will be able to pop the highlight right.
Yes, Craig will do his bit.
Going into the half. The Surge quarterback Jacob Wright started to warm up a little bit. He got a really nice scramble into the end zone for a touchdown. And then the mighty fullback Thomas Adell got a two-pointer. I thought it was an O-line who caught it at first because he's a big guy. But yeah, I'd love to see a fullback getting that. And then Nico Lester, defensive back for the Dragons, gets a pick six to be called back by another penalty. Gene Constant, again, that kick returner, he got a really nice catch and run. The Dragons blocked a punt here, then missed the field goal, of course. Then the Surge had one final big offensive drive, 17-14. Oh, sorry, the Dragons got a big offensive drive, 17-14 to the Dragons. Then the Surge countered that to finish the game, 21-14. And Zach Edwards got a nasty. He had the comeback drive going. I think he took him to about 15, 20 yard line. Then the Surge double sacked him back to back and it just took him out of the game.
Yeah, it was tough, that end of the game for him, trying to make things happen, and it's difficult, especially when the other team are coming straight at you. But, I mean, as you mentioned at the beginning, this was both our adopted teams going ahead of each other, and I was really impressed, actually, by the Surge. It's really tough. We've spoken to players, and we've had a look at these teams sort of just on a name and experience sort of point of view, and I thought Jacob Wright was exciting quarterback. He is quick. One thing I noticed, that the boy can scramble and he can really move and make things happen. And for me, Lamar Jackson's become one of the most popular quarterbacks, you know, in the world at the moment, purely because he is that dual threat. And that's what you like to see from a quarterback. So seeing a lot more of that would be, I think, pretty awesome as a now Surge fan. But I think Zach had to have a couple of tough times, but you know, as a young lad, he'll learn from these mistakes and he'll improve. And I think as the season goes on, he'll find his feet a bit more.
Absolutely. I messaged him after the game and he said onwards and upwards, basically. Yeah. So good luck for him. The thing I noticed about this game, it was super quick. Like watching time, I started watching it, it was finished already. I was like, Jesus.
These tight games always are though, aren't they? They just seem to absolutely fly by.
Yeah. So MVP for this game, it's the Surge quarterback, Jacob Wright. Throwing not too much, 12 throws, 12 completions, 147 yards, two touchdowns, but six rush attempts for 48 yards and a touchdown. So a bit multi-threaded. And for the Dragons honourable mention, I'm going to give that to Gene Constant, the wide receiver and returner. Four catches, 106 yards, two returns for 43 yards, but he had a lot of stuff called back on him, so... not his fault, really. But that was the Saturday games. It was just great to, like, I forgot it was on, so I just clicked on it. It was great.
Yeah, it was quality. It was a good way to start off. I mean, it's it's just one of those things where the hype was just ready to go. And I tell you what, I did miss quite a big chunk of these games that I had to catch up on, and I didn't get to watch them as much as the Sunday games. But that last sort of 5 minutes or so of the Dragon Surge game was pretty exciting to watch.
And yeah, it's nice having it just split up over the weekend instead of having it all on a Sunday as well.
So exactly.
I mean, if you didn't watch any of the games and you're thinking of it, just go for it. Get the Game Pass if you're in Germany or whatever. You can watch it for free on there stuff, and it's good watching. Moving on to the first Sunday game, we got the Leipzig Kings against the Berlin Thunder. It was 31-21 to the Kings overall, but again, a 10-point game. It wasn't too different. And this was probably the most one-sided game that the Kings really did in the second half take it off. But the Thunder actually started the game off with a touchdown, 84-yarder from Calvin Stitt to Tino Ndongo. It's a great throw, really deep pass, and the wide receiver struck straight in. But of course, as with all the games, the PAT got blocked for a return. So that was now 6-2. Then the Thunder intercept Kings. Eco Pekarin intercepted Birdsong, which is just a great name for a quarterback, by the way.
Yeah, the best. That's like
so cool. And they get a field goal off of that. So it's now 9-2. But then the Kings get a sack followed by a touchdown, taking it to 9-9. Kings wide receiver Tommy, I don't know how you say this, Knutel. He got two. He has the first two touchdowns, 15-9. He had some really good catches. And then elf baller Raymond Sabawale, he had a huge run. Craig will put it in here, but I'll have a look at this. He hurdles another elf baller, Jamal White. He by himself had a great game, but
yeah.
Big run, the big hurdle, that's going on the highlight reel for him. And then that was followed by Birdsong throwing to Yoshito Omi for a touchdown. After he struggled a bit to start with, but Birdsong really got going towards the end.
He was good. That offense that they've got, the Kings, is extremely good. Very, very good. I'm looking forward to how that goes up against some of the other boys.
And then the Thunder had a three and out, but then Jamal White, speaking of, got an interception there. Which resulted in the Thunder getting a touchdown to the receiver Zerby. Then a kickoff return touchdown by Alpha Jalo, who's the safety for the Kings. Unbelievable run, took it all the way to the house. There's one guy left, and he just wove around about three times and just absolutely had the best of him. So that was an amazing play. And then Jamal White, off the back of that, actually returned the kickoff to the red zone. That was called back on a penalty, which was really rough.
Yeah.
And then straight after that, the Kings got a pick six, again, nullified by penalty. And Alpha Jalo, his name pops up again, he forces a big fumble against the Thunder. At this point, the Kings really started to take over. And the Thunder had a high snap, resulting in a safety. At this point, it's 31-15 to the Kings. Birdsong throws a touchdown to Jakob Templar. So at this point, the Thunder are down by 21 in the fourth quarter. Calvin Stitt, he put on it. He tried to get their quarterback for the Thunder. He throws an unbelievable touchdown to Santavius Jones and everything. Toe drag swag in the corner, right by the pillar. That was a fantastic touchdown. And then he actually ended up getting a second touchdown. So credit to Calvin Stitt. He did get two touchdowns trying to pull it back, but it was a bit too little, too late, and it was 37-27 to the Kings. I did get the score wrong at the beginning, sorry. 37-27 to the Kings. So, that was... It looked a bit one-sided on the score, but it was a good game to watch.
Yeah, it was exciting. I tell you what, Jamal White, he's a good lad, Jamal, and he was brilliant. He's just in that team. He sort of seems to be the big man in that side, and he's going to be doing a lot for them. With the Thunder... it's a tough one because speaking to people who know a lot about sort of European football, a lot of people had Thunder down as the weakest team. I'm not too sure on why the ins and outs, but it seemed to be quite a running theme. And to be honest with you, they fared a lot better than what I'd heard. I thought they did quite well, but it'll be interesting to see how they do go up against other sides. It's going to be a bit running theme of what I say. You know, we can see how well these teams have done in their first game, but when they go up against other teams, that's when we're really going to really going to take a look and see how good they are. But yeah, not too bad from the Thunder. Definitely some positives. But the Kings, as I said, that offense is interesting. That whole team, I think Leipzig could be a bit of a bit of an undercard coming into this league. Yeah,
definitely. And then we move on to the final. Actually, I'll just note on that. The Kings got 8 sacks in that game. So yeah, not just their offense, but their defense also stomped on them. But MVP for this game, I'm giving it to safety Alpha Jallo. 2 returns, one of them for a touchdown, 97 yards. Other one went for 23. He also got a sack that resulted in a fumble and 2 tackles, one tackle for loss. Honourable mention goes to Jamal White. He got 3 kickoff returns for 147 yards, 89 yards being the longest, and that doesn't include the one that was called back on penalty. He also got a 33-yard int. But now let's move on to the final game, which I personally think was the closest. Both teams are on very equal footing, and it went down to the final seconds. We have Hamburg Sea Devils against the Frankfurt Galaxy. Big defensive game. Both teams were kept under 20 points. Only game to that happened in. And there was a lot of missed points that resulted in this game being won by the Sea Devils. So Galaxy started off with an early field goal, missing an early field goal, should I add. It looked like both teams were just working out what each other was doing, some short passes, bit of run game, see what was going on. And then the Hamburg safety, Marlashawn Franklin Jr., gets an interception. I think about 5-10 yards off their end zone, so great time to get that in. And then elf baller Jadrian Clark, who's the quarterback for the Sea Devils, he threw an interception from his own end zone for the Galaxy to only end up getting a field goal. They were in red zone already, just stout defense. The linebacker for the Sea Devils, Bombeck, his name was everywhere if you watch the game, but he had a really big third down stop. And then linebacker for Hamburg, Ambrose Matty, turned a fumble into a touchdown. Just a big hit on the quarterback, and he skipped right over him, gets that in, and now it's 7-3 to the Sea Devils. Then the Galaxy running back, Janiedi Adams runs it in for a 1-yard touchdown. So again, back to 10-7, close game. Devils orchestrate a very nice long drive with a really nice touchdown to Adrian Botello. It was very, very NFL worthy, I thought. Proper drag route across the field, and he just snuck it by the pylon. But yeah, he was a big tight end as well.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was a great throw by Jay June as well, to be honest. I'm sorry, I don't know if you can hear the ice cream man going by.
No, I can't. It's all good.
Galaxy quarterback Jacob Sullivan then drove the ball down for a touchdown, but 2-point conversion, they miss it. So it's now 15-14 to the Galaxy. And Xavier Johnson, running back for the Sea Devils, he gets 2 big runs, 2 first downs. And then with 4 seconds to go, the Sea Devils kick a field goal, 17-5. And hey, that was just I watched that start to finish, and it was
Quality game. This one really was. Both those D-lines were fantastic. I felt like the running backs really, even though they have both teams of top draw running backs, they really found it hard to create any space and to run in behind at all. So for me, this was, it was a good tight game. And with regards to the Sea Devils, when it sounds very cliche almost, but for me, it was always going to be the team with the last possession were going to be the team to win it. And I think the Sea Devils played that perfectly and managed to get that field goal. My internet went down, I think, with about a minute and something to go, and I missed the last 5 minutes of real time, which meant missing the field goal. I came back and I was like, is it over? Is it finished? And you boys obviously telling me that the Sea Devils had done it. But yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed this game. As I mentioned, I thought Jadrian, you could see the class that he's got. I thought, obviously, our friend Cadell, I thought he was brilliant. He made a few good plays. His impact, he was recognizable on the pitch. You could see.
Yeah, he was always at the ball.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was great and always. I don't know if that's just my personal bias, always looking out for him. But I thought I noticed him quite quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, these are tipped to be the two big dogs in the league facing each other straight away. It's going to be interesting to see how impactful this victory will be in the season. However, that of course they're in two different divisions, so when they could potentially meet in that championship game, we'll have to wait and see. But it'll be good to see how these two teams gel over time. You know, we've got a fair few weeks before we even get near to the playoffs, so they're just going to keep learning, keep understanding each other, and there's no better way to learn about your teammates than in game. So it'll be good to see how these improve over time.
I'll tell you what, the Sea Devils kit is beautiful.
Yes, I think it may be my favourite.
I think mine's between either the Sea Devils or the Kings. I didn't expect to like the Kings stuff.
Yeah.
But it looks good.
It does. I'll tell you what, I was quite disappointed in the Dragons. I was expecting maybe a bit more yellow.
Yeah.
It's very green.
I do like them. I'm torn between the Sea Devils and the Dragons.
You haven't picked. I mean, I like a lot of players. You know, fortunately, we know a lot of players in this.
Yeah, that was a great thing, just watching all the games. Because realistically, I didn't have any allegiance going into the game.
Yeah.
Or any games. I was just watching for the... Like, I can't do that in the NFL. I can't watch an NFL game and be unbiased. I have a very certain disposition to certain teams. With that game, like, all of them, I was like, it's just good football. Mm. It's fun to watch.
And you want to see people doing well. And, of course, it's we do wish give our best of luck to the player that broke his leg as well.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty, absolutely. Nasty injury to get on the first week.
Yeah.
Hope he recovers quickly and as well as possible.
Just jumping back to that final game there, for the MVP, like I said, it was a pretty close game. There wasn't really a standout any player, but I'm going to give it to the linebacker for the Sea Devils, Jan Philip Bombeck. He had two sacks on the day and three tackles. And he also got that really crucial third down stop. But yeah, he, a bit like Cadell, he was everywhere on the defense when he was playing. And we'll also wrap it up with a Tafts player of the week.
Yes.
I think Craig brought him up first in our little chat. And we all 100% agreed, but it's definitely going to Madre London for the Cologne Centurions. I mean, it's not every day you rush over 200 yards, but 272, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, look, there was a lot of players that had a lot of great performances, as we've mentioned throughout this. But yeah, Madre absolutely smashed all of them out of the park, in my opinion. As you say, those numbers, the way he looked, just everything, three touchdowns, it's got to be him.
But if you disagree, if you think there's any other better players, please do comment and let us know on any of our social medias or other channels. Speaking of which, Joe, where can people find us?
Yes, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at TAFS_UK. And you can find us on Facebook at That American Football Show. Also, if you like ELF stuff, as I assume you do, if you're watching or listening to this, go check out the ELF Reddit. Me, Adam and Tim are in there fairly often, and it's a really good place to just speak to other people who enjoy the league and really like the league. The guy who runs it is a really great guy, and it just recently hit over 1,000 members. Yeah. So get involved and get chatting. It's a really friendly place. Anyone's welcome.
And you can also see all this stuff on YouTube. There's not much English content out, so we are trying to get the word around Britain and the UK. With this stuff. So please do give us a like, give us a subscribe, share us around if you know anyone who's trying to get into a new league, because it honestly was so good. It's on next weekend, so make sure you pick a team and you start watching. All this stuff can be found on either our YouTube or the podcast. Thank you everyone for listening. We're going to be doing weekly ELF updates along with all our other usual content. So don't worry if you're not too big of a fan. We're still going to be making sure everything else is covered. But thanks for listening. Make sure you head over and check out our Tafts merch shop at Eden Sports and check out the new NFL rank. We will see you all next week.